Hey family, thank you for following and trusting the path that led you here. This is Flow Space, Conscious Conversations with J&D. I'm Jerrica.
And I'm Deandra. Our discussions will be led by intuition and spirit as we continue to evolve and learn about what it means to live an earthly human experience.
How like all these things fester in a very similar vibration and they're connected through that vibration but show themselves in different forms.
Yeah, because it's so essential to speak on it because the source of the energy is the same,
right?
That keeps wars going on globally, really, like the plague.
Yeah, because that's what you were talking about, like bringing the message back to Twitter because of how important it is to let it be out there.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's what connected everything. I think that's where it began.
Yeah. Okay, wait, let me read back those tweets then. It's not even the people, it's the energy that doesn't want the light to win, that uses the weak-minded people with holes in their aura to action out any attempts to stop the light.
That's the piece for me. That's like what really did it for me.
Yeah, because I feel that that speaks to the energy that you were just referencing.
Yes.
As it being the same source of energy that can be seen globally. And it's true, we as human beings here on Earth, we're simply just the vessel, and when that energy attaches to us because of whatever lack of boundaries or weak spiritual practices we have in place to allow it, it can take a hold of us. And you hear it when people talk about demonic entities taking over people and controlling them, or even in something like hearing a murder story and the person saying it wasn't me who did it, I didn't want to do it, like somebody was in my mind telling me to do this.
Whoa.
And you can see how it can be relatable when you aren't strong in your mind or connected to your innate inner power, you can be susceptible to this kind of energy.
Yeah. Whew. You really took it there with that example. But it's such a good example. Like, how can we bring that down into everyday life? Like, what that looks like, being in our power, having strong energetic spiritual practices.
Mm-hmm.
Because as we were discussing earlier, what was coming to mind was how we had to face these levels of separation that lived within us in order to come to this realization, to have this conversation. Mm-hmm. And address that energy within ourselves that is born out of a lack of a spiritual practice, for example, or something that created a vulnerable hole or space in our aura for it to penetrate and continue to fester until we addressed it.
Well, if you take it back even further, before we even had the awareness to have the conversation, these things manifest in our ways of being, not only through the lack of spiritual boundaries, but also through the different experiences, traumas that we encounter, those who raise us, whatever our environment was growing up, that really lays the foundation for what we then deem acceptable or not acceptable in our lives. And unless we take the time to reflect on these different things and reprogram and repattern our mind and our ways of being and implementing new healthy boundaries for ourselves, we will allow that energy to continue festering and manifesting in us and turning into something beyond what we can even imagine.
Right. But how does one begin that when the awareness is not there, or engaging with others that aren't on the same level of awareness as one is?
Mm-hmm.
Without creating it as like a hierarchy or like a linear thing, but it's just like a different frequency than what one is operating in.
Yeah, I totally get you, because that's life, that's relatable.
Yeah,
not everybody operates at the same frequency as you do. You know, hopefully people are operating in the same frequency as their tribe and their soul family, but not everybody is as fortunate to be able to receive that blessing right here, right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think even from personal experience, we can speak to it, how maybe we are striving to do inner work and we are willing to face ourselves and go to the depths that exist within our bodies, but those who can be closest to us in terms of family or friends that we've had for years, lifelong friends, they might not be doing that inner work. So we can arrive at an experience together, a shared experience, but perceive it so differently. And it's not all because I'm doing the work doesn't mean that I am going to show up and I'm going to dictate what unfolds. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't have the sole power in creating that moment. I have it for myself, but the co-creation of that experience, it takes all of our energies. So when I choose to involve myself with somebody who might be walking a different path than I am, and it's totally fine that they are, I have to be aware that the experience is going to be a co-creation of all energies involved, and I have to be willing to meet them wherever the experience leads us.
As they as well have to meet you wherever the joint experience leads everyone involved.
Yeah, and that piece is something that I think I'm still like unraveling, because from my personal experience, those who I have interacted with that aren't necessarily doing the inner work and actually facing themselves in what I perceive truth, that creates conflict. And I can rise and rise and rise to the occasion, but again, as we spoke about in one of the previous episodes, our ego can step forward in these moments as a protection, as a guide, or even just simply as an ego aspect of the human self, and not want to fold to the moment. Mm-hmm. But I can't force somebody to meet me where I am at.
Right. So then what do you do in those instances, in those scenarios? Like, how do we navigate that best to hold a vision that we have for the world at large through the work that we are choosing to do with oneself without becoming susceptible to the moment's co-creation energetic blueprint that it has?
Yeah, and as you say that, actually what stands out to me is the question of how can I do this without allowing that sticky energy that we were first referencing to not penetrate me and attach to me, so then I'm now operating from that lens of stickiness. And I can't say this enough or clearer than I'm gonna say it, but this takes so much work, responsibility, devotion to the highest timeline and the highest path to be able to do this.
Take us there, sis. Speak
it.
I know. It's important to be said. This is not no like small feat.
No. And somebody who strives to be my best self in every moment, I deal with this where I fold because I'm like, F this. You know, you're not going to try to play me right now.
Right.
And that's not the highest timeline for all involved. That's me succumbing to the moment and being human. Mm-hmm. So, like I said, I can't say it any clearer. That takes such dedication, devotion to the will of practicing.
Yeah.
That is, I feel like, a superpower, a superhuman ability. Because from my experience in life thus far, it doesn't come easy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it reminds me of a very small example that surfaced recently at my job. Mm-hmm. And I recognized how the way someone was showing up was kind of like poking at me. Mm-hmm. And like the stickiness was trying to travel and stick itself onto me, the sticky mm-hmm. energy. And I would continue to choose not to engage in that energy, the energetic aspect of the moment, not mm-hmm. engaging with the person, but the energy of the moment mm-hmm. because of the co-creation that was happening. But then it got to a point, maybe like the fifth time,
yeah,
I was like, you know, I have to walk away, like in my own mind, because I saw it was so quiet, the ego, it wasn't as strong as it has been in the past, and I recognized it as a moment to put this into practice, what we're talking about of choosing the highest timeline. And I chose to walk away because I knew whatever would eventually surface within whatever I say wouldn't be in alignment with my highest self. So I walked away to then like recenter myself before allowing it to get somewhere it didn't need to get to, that would just ultimately create more division than unity.
Mm-hmm.
And through me stepping back, I was able to then reflect and see the situation more clearly and see through a more compassionate lens that then let me return back to my heart center quicker than I would have had I chose to engage in that sticky energy that wanted to take hold.
Yeah, and I feel that that's kind of the answer to the question you were asking me before, like, how do we do this? I think it's truly living from a heart-centered space, because once we do step into the mind or into that defense mode or actively choose to play the game and engage with whatever energetics are being presented to us, and I'm glad you highlighted you weren't engaging or entertaining the energetics, you were still engaging with the person, because the person isn't the energy. That energy is just simply operating through that person because mm-hmm. they were an open vessel at some point in time. And so they gain the awareness of that and actually purge and clean and purify themselves, they will continue to operate or allow another energy or entity to operate through them. So it's really good that you highlighted that, because I feel that that's the heart-centered piece in this, in how we can navigate these people, places, and experiences.
Yeah, and I arrived to that as I was sharing it right now. I wasn't fully aware of that aspect of the energy role mm-hmm. in the moment, so I'm grateful for the conversation to have this greater understanding of what was unfolding in that moment mm-hmm. because it also deepens the answer to the question that I was asking, because mm-hmm. it allows us to then view anything that we are part of, like you said, people, places, or experiences, through that higher lens, as we're all just vessels of energy.
Yeah.
And depending on what our spiritual practices are, our energetic boundaries, where we are in our path, and so many other things, our traumas, our lineages, the way we were raised, all of those things, depending on all of that, determines what energy is welcomed into our vessel versus what is our soul's core frequency energy.
Yeah, and I feel that our soul's core frequency or our innate energy, it's our baseline. But then if we are not actively doing a couple of things, if we're not actively keeping our vessel clean with whatever feels good for us, and if we're not actively conscious of the present moment and making conscious choices of how we're going to decide the next moment to unfold, we can then... What's so funny?
It's just so funny because it's just great responsibility. And it's just one of those things where like it activates something within me. And sometimes my immediate default is to laugh about yeah. it because it's grander than what I was... perceiving my understanding of what we're discussing.
Yeah, it's the grandness.
Exactly.
That takes hold.
Yeah.
No, I like to ask because I don't know where your mind went.
Yeah. It's just like fascinating. It's mm-hmm. magnificent, you know, and it speaks to that superpower that you were speaking of. And I think that's also, it's like almost like a nervous laugh. It's just like, whoa, we have access to this magnitude of power
mm-hmm.
and to create the next moment through our consciousness, like you were just explaining.
Yeah.
And that's just like, to just sit with that idea in itself can breed so much beauty into this world, so much harmony and unity, should we choose to really welcome in this perspective.
Yeah, I think that's a great way of putting it, recognizing the power we hold, because you countlessly hear us and others saying that we co-create our reality, but the actual power we have to do this lives within these conscious choices that we actively have to be engaging with moment to moment. I can choose right now to start a fight with you.
Yeah.
Or I can choose to engage in this conscious conversation. You know, whatever the next moment holds is what we're co-creating together. And I think our intention as a human being, as a person, just wanting better for everyone, for us, for the world, leads us and allows us to kind of return to that heart-centered conscious choice. Again, I'm not saying it's easy, because it can be very challenging in high energetic moments to choose the loving route. But if I actively think, okay, what's the best for the highest timeline for all, that's where I will arrive to time and time again.
Again and again and again, forever and ever and ever. Yeah, because it's a practice. Mm-hmm. But just to clarify, those high energetic moments, it's not high energy in terms of like the frequency. It's just a lot of energy charging the moment.
Yeah, of actually low energy.
Right.
Usually.
Yes, and those are the moments that require the most active participation of us to show up and rise mm-hmm. in alignment with our highest self.
Yeah, and this actually leads me to want to talk about something similar but a little bit different in terms of what we originally started speaking about when it comes to interacting with different people. And it's whether it's the family, the friends, strangers, whoever it is, that aren't operating on the same frequency as us. A way that I used to see this was, in order to protect myself and protect my peace and my happiness, I had to shut all of these people out. If you weren't willing to meet yourself where I'm meeting myself, I didn't want to engage with you. And that's because I just didn't want to deal with the responsibility that it takes to choose the highest timeline time and time again. Because it could be very triggering when you are trying to walk this path and you're engaging with others who are triggering you and tempting you to choose the lower path.
And that's part of the path.
Which part?
All of it.
Yeah.
You know?
It's all the path. Whatever you choose.
Exactly.
It's your path. So, in order to avoid the temptation, I would tell myself, I just don't want to deal. I'm not going to engage. I'm not going to see these people. Yada, yada, yada. That's not the best thing to do. So actively figuring out, okay, I live in this world, not by myself. I'm not in just an isolated bubble. How can I maneuver this way of being where if I am triggered, I can remind myself to consciously choose the path of love or the highest timeline? And that's something I've been working on maybe for the past 2 weeks now that has been presenting itself like day in and out. Yesterday, I feel, was a very pivotal moment for me in this, where I saw myself being triggered by this high energetic exchange that was going on, and I wanted to retaliate and defend, you know, what I felt was right and all of these other narratives and stories that live within my mind regarding a situation. But instead, I took a second and I asked myself, why am I so bothered right now? What is actually causing this pain that I'm feeling? And I was able to get down to the root of it, the lack of love. And it hurts so much because what I do want is the most love. Mm-hmm. And it's like, how can I get there then? Instead of resorting to just Xing people out and not dealing, how can I get to the most love? And I think that's what this journey is about in every moment.
Yeah. And that's what I was really trying to say in terms of like, that's the path. Like, these triggering moments, if we don't choose to face them, then we're choosing not to grow. Mm-hmm. Because being isolated in our own bubble is very easy because we don't have to concern ourselves with the engagement of other people's energy mm-hmm. or whatever energy they're choosing to allow within their vessel. And instead, in choosing to welcome in these trying times, these triggering moments with other people or places or experiences, we are choosing to see, how can we welcome in more of what it is that we desire the world to look like mm-hmm. through being a vessel for that to manifest.
Yeah, and I feel being committed to that intention carries us forward, because during these different interactions, we can become so discouraged when we aren't met. When we are actively pursuing love and pursuing the highest timeline, and somebody else's reality is so opposite from that, it can really be discouraging. It's that trigger point. And I feel, speaking to that sticky energy, it's really that energy just trying to get more attention and expand itself. Even though it's a lower frequency of energy, it's still wanting to take over. That saying, misery loves company, I feel holds so much weight in this specific scenario or situation that we're talking about, because all it wants to do is permeate through everything. And the visual I get is this black, sticky, like gunky, gross stuff that simply just needs to be cleaned and washed away to be its true essence. But nobody is giving it the time and the attention for that to take place.
Yeah, and some may not even have the awareness that that's what's at the core of however it is that they're operating or feeling about anything and everything.
Yeah.
And I feel it tries so hard, this frequency, this energy, to latch itself onto others because it needs to be fed in order to grow.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I feel love at our core is who we are innately, and that's not something that needs to be taught. It's more so recognized when we're choosing to drop into it.
Mm-hmm. It's universal, and I feel that that's the way I imagine it to be, is that that's what's all around us at all times. But like you said, this other sticky energy, in order for it to have power, it needs to be actively fed,
mm-hmm,
and nurtured in a way. And that's where I think of like the trauma bonding, how that nurtures it, and so many other different examples without, yeah, like you said, people having the awareness of what they're actually nurturing.
Yeah, it's so deep, you know, because it goes back from like that example of you saying like someone murdering someone without even knowing like, oh, what happened?
Mm-hmm.
It goes from that extreme of life and death to how someone chooses to bond with another in their first few moments of meeting someone new, like what topics they choose to discuss,
yeah,
or who they choose to discuss instead of like ideas or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very wide spectrum. So it's easier sometimes to recognize how that energy manifests in things that are more drastic in terms of like murder,
mm-hmm,
versus what it is that we're choosing to use as a baseline in terms of our connection, like with other people.
Yeah. And to bring it back to the self and make it super simple, what are the first thoughts we have when we awake, when we rise in the morning? Are we saying, you know, thank you so much for this beautiful day ahead of me, thank you for the breath I'm breathing? Or is it, oh, I'm so tired, why did my alarm go off? Or I don't want to wake up, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then that energy, this is the energetics we're speaking of. It's not, again, something that I don't want anybody listening to this to think because somebody's operating from not their highest timeline that they're not a good person or they're a bad person or any of those kind of labels. It's really just identifying the energetics that have attached to us or that we're actively engaging with that dictate our actions and our choices.
Mm-hmm. Right. And how does that look for someone who doesn't relate to energy in the ways that we're discussing it or isn't commonly using this terminology to describe their life experience?
Like, you want to go into a scientific way or
just, you know, because it's like, because what you're saying, the energy of how we start our day, I'm just thinking about someone who's like super plugged into their everyday life, like on routine, on, mm-hmm, autopilot. What is this energy we're talking about, you know?
Yeah. For me, it's everything, because,
yeah,
that's the world I live in, is energies everywhere. But for somebody who may not relate to the word energy, I guess it can begin, because that's what you were asking, how can like it begin to be aware, is starting to realize what are the thoughts that we are having. Forget the energetics of it. If you just want to start surface level, where does our mind go in interactions with others and with ourselves? Do we see the glass half full or half empty? And from there we can start to touch the surface of the energy that's in our lives that we might not be aware of.
That's so beautiful. I couldn't have not given it a better definition or starting point.
Thank you.
That's beautiful. I'm so glad you were able to connect to that perspective, because that's so fundamental and foundational to how we view life.
Well, I just think back to the beginning of my journey, you know, before I had the awareness that I have today. How did I even recognize it? And it was because I reached a breaking point in my life that I wasn't positive in any shape or form of the word positive. My mindset was really, really low, and it was in the awareness of that, like, wow, why am I thinking this right now? That allowed me to then say, yeah, why am I thinking this? I don't want to think this. How can I change it? And begin that inner work.
Yeah, you had the will, the calling, and you chose to answer it at some point, yeah, in your life.
Yeah, because if you hit rock bottom or you're at the lowest of lows, you can choose, like we were saying, actively choose to stay there or actively make a choice to get yourself out of that. And it's funny because today when speaking to somebody, they were moving through some heavy emotions, and I asked them simply, okay, you know how you're feeling right now because you just told me. Do you want to continue feeling like that? And they said no. So my next question was, what do you need to do then to help yourself not feel this way? And at first there was a lot of resistance, and it was like, oh, I don't know, nothing comes to mind, like that type of energy. So I was like, recognize that. This is trying to keep you in the space that you already identified that you don't want to be in. There's no more choice of attaching to that. You know, you can feel the emotions, you can feel the sadness that you expressed you're feeling, but don't attach to it where then that sadness makes you a victim to your circumstance, because you have the power of your choice. Actively choose to do something different. And then they just started, you know, brainstorming, thinking of things to do. They had an idea, okay, if I do this right now, this is going to help me. And then they like, actually, it's silly, I don't know. So I was like, try it. If it doesn't make you feel better, let's think of something else. And we did that, and actually the first thing that they did made them feel better. It gave them enough will or courage to then reconnect even deeper to themselves and change the moment. You know, the moment became a totally different experience for this person.
That's so
and
cool.
That's the beauty and the power of our choice. We just have to be willing to go there with ourselves.
Yeah. What you were saying in terms of when they first responded with, oh, I don't know, nothing comes to mind, mm-hmm. What came to mind for me was that was like a limitation or a block that we impose on ourselves because we're not willing to expand our mind or our heart to what else is available to us outside of the attachment we have to how we're feeling. Mm-hmm. So welcoming in that expansion through the awareness of that limitation or blockage that can be present within us, mm-hmm. when we're looking to navigate these moments where we feel we're confined to, that there's no room for change.
Yeah, it can be because the moment is consuming us, whether that's through the thinking mind or from an energetic standpoint. Because if we go back to that sticky energy, this can be a moment that sticky energy is fighting really hard to keep a grasp and a hold on you. And you have to actually stand up stronger and be like, no, you're not going to have a hold on me. I'm taking my power back. I'm going to control what comes next. So
yeah, it reminds me of not too long ago, within the last month, where I was facing every day just moments for me to rise, to grow. And it was just boom, like just situation after situation every day. It was mm-hmm. just all day, every day for several days, where it got to the point where very quickly I arrived to this, where I just had to surrender to whatever was happening instead of feeling like, oh, I don't know what to do about it. There was an element of I don't know what to do, but I'm not going to block off whatever is presenting itself in the situation. I'm going to allow it to happen, but I'm going to do my best to not attach to what's mm-hmm. happening, so that I could welcome in whatever this situation is trying to get me to see from a new perspective.
Yeah, it's almost as if you have to disassociate with yourself in a, not in a disassociated way. Like, you disassociate from the moment so that you're seeing yourself outside of yourself, mm-hmm. and seeing the moment from an outside perspective. So once you're able to step out of that, I feel it releases the attachment to the emotions or whatever the experience is presenting itself, and you can have a bird's eye view of the situation and then be able to move forward with clarity.
Yeah.
And it reminds me of a quote I saw today. I'm thinking it's a biblical quote because it had to do with God. I don't know like how accurate it was because it was on the socials, but when facing a storm, God doesn't ask you to focus on the storm. God asks you to focus on God. And it reminds me of this that you're speaking of, because in these situations that you were being faced day after day, situation after situation, you could have focused on the situations and the heaviness of whatever you were moving through, but instead you focus on a deeper connection, which allowed you to surrender because of the trust you feel within your heart that the moments are serving you and your highest self for whatever purpose, even though you don't know. And that takes so much strength and courage to be able to do. But that's what allows us to get out of the storm.
Mm-hmm. Period. I love it. Because what you were basically describing is the witnessing aspect, witnessing ourselves in whatever moment that is triggering us or really inviting us to look deeper within ourselves and trusting in whatever it is that we're witnessing without fully knowing whatever is unfolding until eventually the clarity levels out, you know, like the storm will eventually settle and we'll be on the shore. Because mm-hmm. it's like envisioning the tornado out in the ocean. And then eventually, like, the waters will calm down.
Yeah. And it's such a cool visual, actually, because when I find myself beginning to overthink or having some random-ass thoughts, I'm like, why am I worrying about this? If the situation presents itself to me, that I'm thinking of things from this hypothetical standpoint, when that situation presents, if it ever does, I know that I'm equipped to handle that situation. I don't need to be taking myself out of this present breath right here, right now, to worry and occupy my mind with something that I don't know is going to happen. And I relate this to what we were talking about, conversations with others or interactions with others who may not be doing the inner work, or I don't even want to say that anymore because people are where they're at and I'm not the judge of that. I don't know if they're doing the inner work. Maybe their inner work looks very different than my inner work. So just people at different places are operating from different frequency than what I am. I don't need to start thinking about that or even consider what frequency they're operating from. I just need to make sure that the frequency I remain on is the one for my highest timeline and the highest timeline for all. And that's the path of love for me. So reminding myself that's the purpose here in any encounter, no matter what it looks like. And I feel that will make my journey a little bit easier.
Yeah, that was really well said. So beautiful. As you were speaking it, I like basically witnessed you shedding an aspect of the ego once releasing that idea of like where someone else is on their journey or if they're doing the inner work or not. Mm-hmm. Because it's true. I feel because of my own path, we are all looking at ourselves in some capacity, and it's not for us to judge what that is for anybody else, just as it's not for others to judge what that is for us, because we all have our narratives and we all see things through the filter of our own experiences. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't really help in creating unity at the end of the day. That just creates justifications and judgments as to how we perceive others and where they are and where we perceive ourselves to be. When it goes back to what you were saying, is what does it look like for me? And just taking responsibility for how it is that we show up within ourselves and with others and returning to that intention, regardless of what other people are doing or where we think they are or not are. Mm-hmm. And just trusting whenever we encounter whoever it is, it's for our best.
Yeah, the quote, "Be the change you wish to see in the world."
Yeah.
That's literally what we're talking about right here, right now.
Yeah.
We want to see other people change. We need to be the change.
Yeah, and I feel like that also speaks to the blame game. Just like so many things that point the finger outside of us instead of just consistently welcoming in greater reflection with ourselves.
Mm-hmm. And a disclaimer, this doesn't mean to accept violence in any shape or form.
Yeah.
Just gotta put it out there.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully you piece it together with everything else that we've said in this conversation and see what that looks like for you, like what resonates for mm-hmm. you.
Yeah, because I think of the biblical quote, "Turn thy cheek," you know, and that speaks volumes. But then I have also heard it used in a way that was very manipulative. And I never want to say anything that can make it sound like violence or anything less than what we're deserving of is acceptable. Mm-hmm. I'm very all for know your worth, know what you're willing to accept, and don't accept anything less than you are.
Yeah, and that changes as we evolve.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just like just being real with ourselves mm-hmm. and what it is that we're willing to accept, because our capacity changes in every moment.
Yeah. If you enjoyed this conversation and you want to go deeper with yourself, please look at our show notes. We have journal prompts and affirmations to help you do a little bit more deep dive into this topic. And if this resonated, please share it with a friend, a family member, a coworker, anybody that you think will benefit.
Yeah, we appreciate you being here. If you're on YouTube, share what you received from this conversation in the comments. And if you're on any other audio platform, please leave us a 5-star rating and a review to help us continue sharing this message to as many people as possible.
Yes, if you are on social media, you can connect with us at Flow Space the Podcast. That's our Instagram and our TikTok. And if you're on Twitter, you can see quotes that we tweet at Flow Space the Pod.
Thank you so much. Until next week, peace out.
Thank you for listening. Continue flowing in your own space by simply being.
If this resonated with you and you feel called, please be sure to follow us, like, and share. Until next time, wherever you go,
give yourself space to flow.
If you would like to support us, you can check out our affiliates mentioned in our show notes or on our website at flowspacewellness.com and go to our affiliates page. We have affiliates with Greenfield Water Solution, which brings life back into your water, with Lil's Basement, which are handcrafted polymer clay jewelry, incense holders, and cute creations for your body and home, Baja Gold Salt Company, which we love to cook with their sea salt, Oko Living, which are 100% organic cotton, herbal dyed, ethically sourced and made, beautiful yoga mats, Life-Changing Energy, which supplies sound healing instruments such as crystal singing bowls, singing pyramids, and tuning forks. You can also support us by leaving us a love donation, any comments on our social media pages or our YouTube, and also sharing our podcast with your friends, family, coworkers, and anybody you feel would benefit from our message. Thank you so much for joining, tuning in, and listening to us and sharing this space, and we look forward to connecting with you in the future.